One of the things that I highly recommend that you guys do, now I'm talking about just bookkeeping in general, fortnightly P&Ls. I print out receipts and I just put them into a file. But the reason I do that is because don't get locked into just Amazon. Amazon is simply just a platform that could be an option for you in your online journey. Sometimes the manufacturer will come back to me wanting to renegotiate price. Well, here's some things that I would like. Ultimately, what happened with the contract was nothing because the manufacturer wasn't willing to look at a single thing that I proposed in lieu of the fact that they could increase the price. The takeaway from this is I'm Matthew Fraser, and this is Amazon Ecom Secrets. I'll be sharing with you the secrets that helped me go from millions in debt to an eight-figure entrepreneur. If you're ready to escape the 9-to-5 and live life on your terms, let me show you the way. Hey guys, welcome to Amazon Ecom Secrets. My name is Matthew Fraser. Today, I'm going to tell you exactly what I get up to in a single day. I come down to my office. This is where I've set everything up. Yes, you would say it's kind of like a man cave. I've got all my CD collection. Yes, I'm a person from the 90s. Big CD collection. I've got my records here. I've got my DJ turntable set up, but I've also got right behind you is a big screen TV. And I've always got information, informative things playing, particularly on YouTube. I've got a select group of channels that I'm constantly watching, mainly to do with business and crypto/Bitcoin. That's the main things I'm focusing on right now. So you can never know enough about Bitcoin. You know, I'm just sort of a latecomer, I guess you would say, to even Bitcoin. I only started buying Bitcoin in 2022. And it's been a very, very steep learning curve, but I absolutely love it. And so that would be my suggestion to you guys. If you're thinking about getting into, say, let's say an Amazon business, you want to be researching everything you possibly can on Amazon, the platform. And more importantly, I always say, don't get locked into just Amazon. This platform is called Amazon Ecom Secrets, this podcast, Amazon Ecom Secrets, not just Amazon Secrets. And the reason why it's named that way is because I don't want you to be fixated purely on Amazon. Amazon is simply just a platform, a pathway that could be an option for you in your online journey. It might not be, but it also might be. I've got a client right now, for example, we're launching his brand new product. We're not even touching Amazon at this point. We're focusing purely on e-com. So we're going to use Shopify platform. We're going to use Facebook ads and Instagram ads, TikTok to drive traffic to his platform, right? And it's because everyone's unique. Yeah, your situation will be unique to this guy's situation. So maybe for you, Amazon is the platform that you start on. So for me, I jump straight down to the office. I get my education fix going and straight away, pretty much while I'm walking down to the office, I'm checking my sales. That's the first thing I'm going to check. Now, you may not know this, but Amazon has apps. They're the apps on the phone here. So I click on the apps. Now, I've got multiple channels across the world. So Amazon in USA, Canada, Australia for this particular company. And then I have a different company set up in the UK. So I have a different setup over there, but it's and so for UK and Europe, it operates under a different legal entity. So I'm going to check the sales. And I guess when I'm checking the sales, I'm really seeing just very at a glance, you know, are the sales consistent? So for me, mostly it's consistent. If it's not consistent, in other words, let's say I open up one day and I'm doing half the amount of sales that I'm normally waking up to, I know there's a problem, right? And as you can appreciate, businesses don't come without problems. There's always going to be some issues. So as an example, the other day I woke up and I'd done half the amount of sales that I normally do. I'm checking them like, okay, I jump into my inventory to check and see if the listing is actually even active. Because sometimes Amazon may have shut down the listing. There may be too many returns, you know, whatever it is, Amazon's just sort of put a suppressing on your listing. That means no more sales, which means you've got to take action to get things back going again. But for me, in this particular case, what had happened was there was what I call a rogue seller. So someone who's jumped onto my listing, who's now also trying to sell my exclusive product. Now I know that they can't be selling the exact same product because I have a very unique barcode, right? That gives me, nobody else has that barcode. Now, how do they do that? Well, they simply do something where they put, They jump onto the listing and they're probably fulfilling it themselves. So they're not sending it into Amazon, which is their kind of loophole of jumping on the listing. So they're selling a similar product, but it's not the product. And what Amazon provides for me is a thing called a brand registry, which is where I log my product, my barcode, my trademark with Amazon. So if somebody else jumps on my listing, I can contact Amazon and say, hey, remove these people. You know, then they're doing the wrong thing. And 99 times out of 100, Amazon will jump onto them and remove them within probably about 24 hours. But the problem with that is the sales get reduced. So either they're selling it at a cheaper price, so I'm not getting the sales, or I lose the buy box or something like that. So that's generally what I'm checking for. For the most part, things are pretty good, right? I'm talking probably to 80 to 90% of the time, things are good. Things are just going consistently. Now, the other good things though, it might be like the sales might have spiked. And of course, I'm not getting upset about if sales spike. And that's usually the things that I've already done. Like perhaps I'm running a sale. Perhaps I've got some other ads that are playing through social media, which are in turn driving traffic now to my Amazon store as well as a flow-on effect, what we call a halo effect. I don't actually run ads on my business directly to Amazon, right? I run ads in social media directly to my Shopify store. But what happens is people see the ad, they may even come to the Shopify store, and for whatever reason, they don't buy. In America, particularly, they love Amazon. So they might actually jump over to Amazon, type in the brand name of the product, and then they'll buy it there because they trust Amazon. They probably have an account there, they probably get free shipping. And also, they trust the platform because if they don't like the product for whatever reason, they can send it back. So that's another way how I pick up sales. So guys, once I've done that, I'm then going to jump into boring stuff like emails. I'm terrible with emails because I just start going through the emails and deleting all the ones. I'm like, I don't have time for that. Don't have time for that. Don't have time for that. What I should be doing is actually unsubscribing from these emails, but I just sort of don't get around to it. So I go through, I get rid of all the trash that I'm like, I don't have time for that. Then I'm going to go to the ones that are absolutely important. Now, what's interesting, I guess, when you get to my position with Amazon, and is you kind of think that you shouldn't be doing any more work anymore. And it turns out that you still have to do work. And I was just talking to one of my fitness coaches the other day, John from Chief Exercise Officer, CXO. And he was saying, maybe you should outsource some of that work. And yeah, I could. I probably could outsource a lot of paperwork. Like I've got things here, like on here is, you know, this is where I keep, you know, as an example, my invoices, right? So I'm still paying a lot of the invoices. Now, a lot of them are automated. So you know, electricity bills and things like that, but stuff that's specifically related to the business, I like to pay it myself. You know, so inventory, you know, this, just as an example, this one here is a strata bill for one of the commercial buildings I own. I just like to do it because I then get to see the cash flow and stay on top of what's happening. I'm probably a bit reluctant to pass over a lot of that to somebody else because then I sort of lose touch with what's happening. And you know, there's a big rule in business, which is don't lose money if you can, right? And don't lose capital. And I think one way to potentially lose capital is if you entrust other people with your money. Okay, so in the mornings, I'm gonna, I guess, highlight what needs to be paid. I'm actually pretty old school, to be honest. For the most part, this is what I write down. I keep this on my desk. I'm writing down the day, and literally like a list of things, must do this, get this done. I will say though, that a lot of my time is actually not related to Amazon because the great thing about an Amazon-based business is once it's set up, and this is to Shopify as well, but once it's set up, it's pretty much on an autopilot. It's set it up, which takes a lot of time, but once that's done, it's in maintenance mode, making sure that the stock's there, you know, responding to customers, but I outsource that to somebody else. So somebody else is looking after the customers. Sometimes they might email me about a particular question, but that's fine. And I have a lot of communication with my accountant and my bookkeeper. So that's, they're sort of keeping track of things. And one of the things that I highly recommend that you guys do, now I'm talking about just bookkeeping in general, is I found that a lot of people don't do bookkeeping properly. Now, you could do it in line with the BAS, right? Which is generally monthly. Most people do quarterly BAS, so your business activity statements. I go one step further. Not only do I do, obviously, the quarterly BASs, but I'm doing fortnightly P&Ls. So I'm old school. I print out receipts and I just put them into a file. But the reason I do that is because in my P&L, I've got it sectioned out into different territories. So Australia, USA, Canada, UK. And I want to know for that particular column, the income versus the expenses. So I want to know what each territory and how it's performing. You know, is it running at a loss or is it making a profit? And that's how I'm able to keep it all under essentially one legal entity in Australia. As I said before, I've got a different legal entity in the UK and Europe. But that gives me more control and I guess just a quick visual, because I keep it on my desk. I just look at the numbers. So bookkeeper is key. Accountant is key, because what you're going to find is that you're going to start building up also all sorts of different legal entities. But anyway, that's another whole section. But so make sure you've got those people in place. Hey guys, I just want to break away from the episode for just one moment and let you know that I've just launched the Amazon Launchpad mini course. Now, this is designed for people who want to get started on Amazon really, really fast. But guess what? I can get you launched your first product on Amazon with just 5 hours. You just have to click on the link below, join my community, and the course is absolutely free. All right. Thanks, guys, and back to the episode. So, guys, there is a business management element to Amazon. But once, like I said, once it's set up, it's in kind of autopilot and you're in maintenance mode. The great thing about it, although I'm sitting here at my desk and I'm, you know, pointing out my invoices and I'm in touch with the bookkeeper and doing emails, I can step up from here and walk away at any time. And sometimes I have to remind myself of what it's like in what I call like the matrix world, the 9-to-5 matrix world, which is you'd be at a desk and you're like, oh, I need to go to the toilet. Oh, I have to check out. I have to press a button, or I've got to report to the manager or something crazy thing like that. I don't have to do any of that stuff. The luxuries that I've got is once I've been down here in the morning, I then go to the gym. So I'm going to the gym 3 times a week. I've got a personal trainer there. I've got an appointment. I meet that appointment. I then get home and I take my girls into school. Right? Most parents don't get to do that. Yeah. So I'm in a very, very fortunate position to be able to spend that morning time with the girls. And we go down there and I spend time with them at the school. I've got a 10-year-old and a 5-year-old. So that's, and then after that, I then go and get my favorite coffee and then I chill there for a little bit. And then if I'm feeling up to it, I might drop into my showroom and I might look at my cars and I don't know, polish them or something. That's pretty much the morning. I get back to the house and I do my list of tasks. Now, just to give you an idea, this is one just from like yesterday. So I'm in touch with my insurance broker because I've got insurance not just to do with my Amazon business. And just so you know, you can get insurance on your Amazon-based business. And in fact, Amazon requires you to have some level of insurance. So just as a side note, and it's actually not that hard to get, but you have to have the right insurance broker. If you need to get the right insurance broker, reach out to me. I'm happy to share her details with you. I'm then in touch with my bookkeeper. I've then got a YouTube video. Now, as a side project, I've also got my WRX Cult YouTube channel. Now, I just do that for the fun of it because I love WRXs. But it's another thing to do. You know, it piles on more work. So I was, you know, busy editing that video with an editor who's based over in India somewhere. Then I've got another scheduled meeting with another company where I'm looking to take their product, a digital product, global. I'm then helping clients help with their, for example, this today was their frequently asked questions. So I'm sort of reviewing a lot of their work and giving my perspective on the things that I've done in my business. And I guess I get to help those businesses because I've already done them. So I can help fast track, you know, FAQs, privacy statements and all that kind of stuff. Then it was further into some other platforms. So like the New Zealand platform, for example, that we're having some issues with. So it's dealing with that. and then another call with a client. One of the other tasks I had the other day was actually analyzing a product selections from a client. And so what I do with my clients, I say, look, go away. Here's some frameworks to work with to go and source existing products. That's my shortcut method, right? Rather than going and finding your very own product in China somewhere and putting a brand on it and, you know, trying to come up with some differentiation point. Imagine if you could find an existing product that you could take to market and help scale globally, because that's what I do. So in this particular case, my client had gone through a whole bunch of magazines, which is another little trick. And he came up with one particular brand, which I know you guys know, which is Akubra. And it turns out Akubra is not on Amazon. So that was just something that we had to analyze, you know, is there an opportunity to take the Akubra hat to the USA and put it on Amazon, or is it not? And after analyzing it, we actually decided that it wasn't on Amazon. And I think for a reason, I don't think Akubra actually wants to have their product on Amazon. And why would they not want to do that? In my opinion, I think the Akubra hat is something that's better utilized or sold through boutique physical stores, because you guys may not know this, but Amazon return rate can be bad. You know, it can really affect businesses. Now, with hats, can you imagine, you know, you're sending out these very, very expensive hats to people and they just don't fit for whatever reason, right? You're going to end up with returns. And then I don't know what the Akubra brand does with hats that has been on someone else's head. Is there a health issue or something? I don't know. But that could pose as a huge problem for the Akubra brand. And it's probably something that I would not do. Now, is there a possibility of partnering with Akubra for Amazon? Yes, there is. But it wouldn't be a case where you would buy the product from them to then on sell on Amazon. I would only look to do it if I could be an Amazon manager, which means that you're just going to get paid a salary basically to monitor, manage, keep in stock, manage customers, the inventory of the brand of Akubra on Amazon platform. That could be an opportunity, but that would probably be the only way that I would even look to do it. But then that said too, I wouldn't even do that. Yeah, because I'm not in the management business. I want to actually get a brand on Amazon and help grow that business. I don't want to be capped by the salary. I want to build it and ideally scale it across the world. And that's what I do for brands right now. Now, I've been selling products for years and years now, and sometimes the manufacturer will come back to me wanting to renegotiate the price. Now, I'm all for the manufacturer making money. Yeah, I'm not out to screw the manufacturer, because I rely on the manufacturer to make money too. Because if they're not making money, then they could close and they then can't on sell the product to me, which therefore I can't take it global. Everything in a negotiation is a to and fro, right? So they've come to me and said, hey, we need to renegotiate the price. I say, yep, absolutely. Well, here's some things that I would like. You know, it was like new territories. It was, I think, contribution to marketing. You know, it was pretty basic stuff, to be honest. And I put down everything that I want, right? In, if you're gonna think, in the perfect world scenario, here's all the things that I would want. Now, of course, I'm not expecting everything to be accepted, right? So when I went back to the manufacturer with my proposal, they hit the roof. They lost it. Eventually, we got onto a phone call. We sort of nutted things out. And ultimately what happened with the contract was nothing. Nothing changed, because the manufacturer wasn't willing to look at a single thing that I proposed in lieu of the fact that they could increase the price. I was happy to increase the price, but I just needed some positive things on my end too, right? I needed to be a win-win. And ultimately, it wasn't a win-win. And so the contract has stayed exactly as is, and the pricing hasn't changed at all. The takeaway from this is make sure you speak to someone like myself to get a perspective on how the contract should be put together from the get-go. So that's what I do now. I help people put the contracts together, knowing what I know now, right, about how I would structure the contract to put yourself in the best position possible for the future. Because I can tell you, just one little stroke of a pen and you could fuck it all up. So then, guys, once I've wrapped up all that, I usually have some time to focus on building the business. One thing I'm always focused on is how I can increase my wealth, protect the wealth, and maybe going to acquisitions of other businesses. That's something that I'm always thinking about. But on top of all that, the thing that I'm constantly thinking about is how I can best serve my clients. You know, it just plays on my mind all day. Okay, what are they doing now? Can they do this? Can they do this? And so we fortunately get to stay in touch with my one-on-one clients through WhatsApp. And we can just shoot each other messages through the day. When it comes to the evenings, that's when I usually book in my one-on-one calls. One of my clients, he's doing this incredible product, which is, it helps in the waste management business, all right? It's a waste management solution. And he's designed it himself. And so one of the things he's just sent me is these pictures right here. And I was having a conversation with him last night about how we can improve the hero image of the product. And these ones look really, really good. However, I think I'm going to go back to him and get a couple of things changed. Hey, Abby, how you doing?
Good, thanks, mate.
Hey, tell me, I just got those images that you sent through. There was only one little thing that I thought would make it a little bit better. I think that first one that you sent through to me, yeah, the one on the angle, I also wanted to have the bags on the angle as well.
Oh, I'm not facing that way.
Yeah, remember how I said have the side of the bag so you can see the roll, roll of the bags?
Yep.
Yeah, because front on, the only way you know it's a roll of bags is because it says bin liners, but we don't actually know it's a roll. We sort of assume it is.
Yeah, I get you.
We know it is because we know what it is, you know what I mean?
All right, done. I'll do that. I'll change that so it's on an angle.
Yeah, and I think that's going to be really, really great to have as our hero image for the Amazon listing and also as well for the Shopify store. I think they're going to come up really, really well.
All right, I'll pass them on to Martin and he can, on the include with your bin mat, yeah, we change that one with the box and everything and just put that on there.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Then no worries.
Okay. Well, you send me back what you produce. So I'll just triple check it and then make sure we're on the same page and then we'll go from there. But anyway, looking good, mate.
No worries. Thanks, mate.
Thanks, Abby. Bye. And that's what it takes. You know, this is what I'm doing every single day, talking to clients about how to improve their business, their product, and take things to the next level. Just simple things like that. Yeah. And sometimes it's good just to have somebody else look over the simple things where we can just fine tune it. And that fine tuning will ultimately end up in more sales and more profit. All right, guys, so that's pretty much it. That wraps it up for this episode. And I hope you've enjoyed having a little bit of a sneak peek behind the scenes of what it's like being an Amazon e-com seller. And as you can see, it's not so bad, right? It certainly beats having to be a slave in the 9-to-5 matrix. I hope you can break it. All right, take care. Thanks for tuning into Amazon e-com Secrets. If you enjoyed this episode, the best way to show your support is to give a 5-star review on Apple Podcast and Spotify and make sure to subscribe on YouTube so you don't miss an episode. You can also find more at I'm Matthew Fraser on all social media platforms. Thanks so much. Take care.